That's it. Okay. We didn't see the first cliff, but I'll give you a small background. As we remember, he knows your name. God is mindful of you. We live on a planet called Earth, right? It's part of our solar system. But where is our solar system? It's part of what they call the Milky Way galaxy. Milky Way galaxy. A galaxy, which is some of those things you are seeing there, is a huge collection of gas, dust, and billions of stars and their solar systems. A galaxy is held together by gravity. Our galaxy, ours, is called the Milky Way. It also has a big hole in the middle. When you look up at the stars in the night sky, you are seeing other stars or suns in our Milky Way. If it's really dark, far away from lights, from cities and houses, you can even see dusty bands of the Milky Way stretch across the sky. They showed those this week. They showed the band of the Milky Way. Of the 170 billion to 2 trillion galaxies on Earth. What can you even... I don't even know where the zeros will end. Of all of those on earth and in the heavenlies, God knows your name. You see, all of that is just one. Just some of them that you are seeing. The sun is 93 miles away. At a distance of 170 miles from earth, a comet called C2017 K12 Pan-STARRS is coming. It's going to be approaching this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday night around 11 p.m. They said scientists have been so fascinated by that particular comet. They've been observing it for 5 years. And now it's coming close enough where with binoculars or a telescope, you can see it. It is the brightest comet in the sky right now. I mean, we don't think of such things. Which one? I haven't finished with the issues around me. Which one is galaxy? But there are 170 billion to 2 trillion galaxies on earth and in the heavenlies. See, the song that they were singing earlier says that he dresses the lilies. He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows the number of hair on my head. And this psalm that we read in verse 3 says, when I consider thy heavens, we've only talked of the heavens right now, those galaxies, and it's just one of the many things there. He says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Just let that thought sink in. Who am I that God is so mindful of me, as tiny as I am? In Genesis chapter 8, I'll be making reference to some scriptures. I may not read them all because of time. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God has everything in order. It has been like that before even time began. He has it all together. He sustains all things as the maker and the creator. So he knows my name and he knows my situation. Why do we carry such heavy loads when God is looking for us to say, I know you, so that I can help somebody else? And we are so worried. This morning, for some reason, I remembered when I was a baby. My mom told me the story, of course. I didn't know that. But my mom said that I was ill and I died. I died, stopped breathing completely. And my dad wasn't home. So when my dad came home, I looked exactly how my dad looked, just that he was really light. He wasn't dark. And when he came home and they said, that child, something is wrong, he said, my mom, because in my place, I'm from the northern part of Nigeria, you die, they bury you there and then. There's no keeping the body for anything. You are dead, you are gone that day. They bury you that day. And the people were saying, we have to bury this child. And my mom said, no, the father is not home. We have to wait. And she said, but the child is not breathing. The child is dead. And she they insist, she insisted until my dad came home. When my dad came home and they said the child died, my dad said that child is not dying. He's not letting that child die. And I wasn't his first child. It's just destiny. And the Lord, my mom said that my dad took me. There was no big hospital in our immediate vicinity. So they took me somewhere that was like 25 miles away. Somebody, they said they took a dead body. They took a corpse to the hospital because my dad said, you're not burying this child. So he got there and they said, but the child is not breathing. He said, do something. They said, what can we do? He said, I don't know, but you can do something. In my place, if somebody is very sick and you put a drip on him, as far as they are concerned, oh, he got good medication. Just put any drip on the person and they are convinced that you did something. So he said, are some of you like that? So he said, they brought out the drip. He said, well, put a drip. They said, but there's no vein. She's not there. The body is getting stiff. He said, try it. So because he insisted, they brought out the drip. They tried everywhere. They couldn't get any drip. And finally, they tried my thighs. The mark is still there till today. They tried my thighs, and then I started breathing. How many near misses have you had in your life? How many times have you come close to death? It may not even be death, but a catastrophe. Something that could have happened to you. And you didn't even do anything to help yourself. How many times has he watched over you? Like the song said, he watches over you. He watches. When I was in high school, I was in the third class. And I went to visit my uncle in another village, in another city, in a big city. As I was going back, I entered a taxi. And the taxi is a station wagon. I don't know if they still have them. It has three seats, not just, it's a station wagon. So I was early and the driver was here. I sat behind the driver. Other people sat. Then some people came that were more important than me. I was a child. And they said, you need to go back. And I'm like, no, I was here first. They're like, go back. I had no argument. I went back. I sat. So you had the driver here. You had the next row. I was sitting behind the driver. They took me to the back row and kept me there. I was so upset. I'm like, these people, this is not fair. I was here first. Da, 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 da. We had an accident. We had a crash. I woke up in the hospital unconscious. And when I woke up, I was crying. I said, what happened? What happened? So they told us. I said, where are my things? Because my uncle bought new clothes, new shoes. I was in high school. I was more interested in my shoes. And they said, child, they didn't take anything out of that taxi. And they said, only one person died. Everybody else is being checked. The person that died is the person that took my seat. That's the only person that died in that taxi. How many near misses? How many times has the Lord reached down and picked you up? How many times has the Lord been there for you and you are not even aware? Because we just live as if it doesn't matter. And then when a small thing happens, it's like God has never been good to you. It's like all your life you've been in sorrow. He is mindful of you. There's a scripture in Psalm 115 verse 12. We won't read it. This is what it says. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord is mindful of you. And because he's mindful of you, he's not just saying, oh, I like you. He will bless you. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, verse 26 said that God created them male and female. And he saw that what God did was very good. And he created them to have dominion. And then it goes down to say that then he blessed them. The first thing God did after creation is to bless man. God's heart towards me is to bless me. His mind towards me is to bless me. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless my house. Mary, when she encountered Jesus, the angel in Luke chapter 1, she said, he has regarded the humble state of his born servant. For behold, from this time, all generations will call me blessed. His humble handmaid. God will bless you. But this blessing is not for you to, you know, there's a new song they do in Nigeria. They say Buga or something. They'll do their. It's not for you to feel I'm somebody. When he blesses you, you better remember where he picked you from. He will regard the humble state of his maid servant. You need to be down there. If you want God to lift you up and bless you, let pride go. Let self-knowledge go. Let me go. Be down there. That's when he picks you up. He will bless you. He will bless you. Psalm 103 verse 14, he says, for he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are dust. In our failures, in our situations, in our challenges, God is mindful that you are dust and you need help. He's merciful. He's forgiving. Because he knows that that is your frame. Have you ever done something? I know I've done it many times. When I'll tell God, oh, I'm so sorry. This won't happen again. You come back another time. God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Forgive me. You go back. You come back with the same situation. God, I'm so sorry. It's like, doesn't he get tired? When somebody does that to you, say, no, this is deliberate. They are planning it. They know what they are doing. But God is so merciful. He remembers our frame. He is so mindful of you. I'm just telling you some of the benefits because of God's mindfulness of you. Psalm 40 verse 17, since I am afflicted and needy. Are you afflicted? In any area? Business, job, finance, health, family, relationships? Are there things that the enemy is using to beat on you? He says, since I am afflicted and needy, Lord, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O God. Help and deliverance comes from the Lord because he's mindful of you. Do you need God's help? Do you need God's deliverance? He is mindful of you. Amen? Amen. Psalm 111 verse 5, he says, he has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. That's talking of provision. That's talking of a covenant. That's saying that he knows my name. He knows where I sleep. He knows everything about me. And he will take care of me. It doesn't matter where you go. That's what that song says. He says, no matter where I go, he knows my name. What is man that you magnify him? You are concerned about him. God comes and picks us out of the dunghill. He is mindful of you. If you forget anything else, everything else, remember that God is mindful of me. He's interested in my affairs. He takes note of us, as he said in Psalm 8 verse 3, where we read. He doesn't just think about us. He cares for us. He's concerned about us. He takes thought about us. He remembers us. He takes notice. He pays attention. Don't think that God doesn't know what's going on. He knows everything. Even where you do not know, and you think, oh, this devil is after me, God is watching. The devil is like a dog on a leash. God will let him go so far, and he pulls it back. The devil cannot overcome you. If he could, none of us would be sitting here. He would have destroyed all of us. That's his mandate. That's his agenda, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Every day he's looking for how to trap you. But God's, you are on his heart. He loves us, and he wants to take care of us. He's a good, good father. Think about the goodness of God. But the thing is, he also wants intimacy from you. He wants you to be in sync with you, with him. That's why it says in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, we sing it right, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created for God's pleasure. He loves you. It's not about you, people. It's not about me. He desired, he determined, he decided, I will love this girl before I was born, before I became a girl. He decided he was going to love me. And because of that, his eyes are upon me. Because I'm his creation. And because I'm dear to him. And because he loved me so much that he's willing to give his son, his only son, for me. What would make you think that God has now forgotten me? Sometimes we are tempted to feel that way. When things are just not going right. When you have prayed. When the challenge comes, you are like, God, where are you? The disciples, they were in the boats, and suddenly there was a storm. And what did they say? Carest thou not that we perish? He is right there in the boat. That's how we react to situations sometimes. But God loves us and he's partnering with us. He's depending on you and me, because to whom much is given, much is desired, is required. God is not just saying, I love you, I love you. God wants you to make an impact in this world. There's a reason why you were created. There's a purpose. There is a duty that you need to perform. So when you now receive the love of God, which is the first one, receive that God's eyes are on me today. He's mindful of me. Now the next thing is, Lord, what would you have me do? That's what Paul asked him. What would you have me do? There's something that Christians from the beginning, for a long time, they call it the Westminster Catechism. And it talks about the chief end of man. The question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Not just for a while. To glorify God. So the first thing is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now we want to enjoy him forever. How about the glorifying God? That first part, how do you glorify God? What is the assignment that God has for you? Remember that human beings have value. That's why he has you here. It's not just about you. It's about people. I've said it before. Sometimes when Lee closes and I'm driving past there, I'm like, wow, life is really about people. The place looks barren. There are no human beings. There's nobody to talk to. You can hear the singing of the birds and everything that ordinarily you will not hear. But when school is in session, there are human beings. And then we treat each other anyhow we like. Anyhow we like. Somebody crosses you in front as you are driving. Oh, you're upset. You don't even know what that person is going through. If you have your way, you'll deal with the person. But when that place is empty and that person is not there, people have value. Those of us that are with ASLPN, we know this week we lost somebody. Somebody precious. Somebody dear. And they just called and said she passed. We didn't even know what was going on. And all of us are still feeling the pain. The little things that we can do to add value to somebody else's life, we don't do it. The tendency is for me to notice what's wrong in you. What's wrong in this situation. But God wants us to know that he's interested in people. He loves people. It's not just you he loves. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of everyone in this room. How can I add value to somebody instead of devaluing? You know, when you begin to pull somebody down, you are devaluing. You are bringing them down. God is saying, no, I'm interested in people. People have significance. I have a meaning for each person's life. And so how can we glorify God? I just came up with just some three things that the Lord was speaking to me. First thing is, there are three W's, just so you can remember W's. The first one is to be a co-worker, a worker. Work with God. W-O-R-K. Work with God. Be ready. These are the days that God is looking for people to do something, to minister to somebody, to give a love to somebody. Sometimes it takes just a smile. Just a smile. There's a place I walk in around our house, W-A-L-K. I take a walk and I used to be very good. I go every day. I don't remember the last month I went. It's been a long time. So I was walking there last week. I said, you know what? We need to revisit this thing. And I went there and one man, he called out to me. I was on the phone. He said, hey. And I turned and looked at him. He said, where have you been? I said, oh, yeah. He said, you haven't been walking for a while. I said, yes, sir, I have not been walking. He said, why? But I went home saying, you see, somebody noticed. All I do in the morning is he comes out and sits out there with his cup of coffee. And I do this, good morning. And you do that, that's all. I don't know his name. He does not know my name. But he noticed that I wasn't walking. And it has happened to me several times. Somebody will say, where have you been? I didn't see you. Do we notice people? Do we notice people? Do we just take note and say, why is Balmati like this today? Maybe I need to pray for her. Maybe I need to speak to her. Maybe I need to give her a call. Do we take note? It never ceases to amaze me that Saul, when he was troubled by a demon, I think they said it was, by an evil spirit, they brought David to come and play for him. And David would play and the evil spirit will leave him and he would be calm. And David was, he left his father's house and came and stayed at the palace just to play to calm the king. But when he now went and killed Goliath, Saul was asking, please, whose child is this? And Joab said, I really don't know. He was playing the harp to calm the king. They didn't even notice him. This is somebody that will be somebody tomorrow. They didn't even notice him. How many people do we pass and say, this doesn't amount to anything? Just a little kindness, just a smile. Hey, good morning. And somebody is saying, where have you been? May the Lord help me and you, because I do it a lot. You don't think about it, but you overlook some people. And then when people talk to you, you react as if two of you were fighting in your sleep. Somebody greets you in the morning. You are already, what happened? We just met. We are just talking. Let's let the love of God, how God is mindful of us, let's be mindful of people. If there's one thing that Mount Zion can be known for, and I thank God that to a great level, we are very warm and welcoming. But it doesn't mean we cannot go higher. If we can go a step higher, let's be identified with one thing. That congregation, they care for people. You see what Miriam does? Some of us don't even know. It's like she's bothering us when we are running out of church. She says, sign, sign, sign. She wants you to sign a card for Sharon. Sharon has not forgotten. She was looking for Miriam where she came. Same thing with Oi. She's like, Miss Miriam was sending me cards. Things that you don't think are important, it counts to somebody. It's the little things, and you don't have to. Miriam doesn't have to stand here and take this pulpit or stand here and sing or be an usher. Just the little that she's able to do is making an impact somewhere. Somebody feels remembered. Even people that have gone and we've forgotten them, she remembers them. What is the little contribution that you can make just to lift up somebody's day? Maybe they are not here and they are somewhere in another part of the country, and then a card comes from Mount Zion. They did it to me too. They sent me a card. I'm like, really? I was so touched. It does something to you. Be a worker. The worker doesn't mean you have to be in front of everybody. A little thing. Let God show you. What is my talent? What can I do? How can I add value to somebody's life? In Mount Zion, in my workplace, in the community, in the church, in another church, how can I add value to somebody else's life? And also, how can I fight for them on my knees? We'll come to that. But here in Jeremiah 51, verse 20 to 26, the Lord says, for with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also, I will break in pieces man and woman. With you, I will break in pieces old and young. With you, I will break in pieces young man and maiden. With you also, I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you, I will break in pieces. Can you imagine? He keeps saying, with you, with you. He's saying different things that he can do, that he wants to do. And all he's saying is, with you, with you, with you. Are you available? Some of us are too busy. With you, God can do so much. Be a co-worker. Be a worker for God. The next thing is, be a witness for God. We know these things. I'm just reminding us. Be a witness. I'm sure we can all quote Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. And he says in Acts 1:8, you remember that one? Nobody remembers that. You will receive the Holy Spirit and then you'll be witnesses. Just somewhere. These days, somebody needs to speak for Jesus. I used to have a book when I was in Bible school. It says, say a word for Jesus. Just a word. Sometimes people need to hear just one word. In your workplace, one word. In some places, nobody knows that we are Christians. We are hiding. Just one word somewhere. that will lift somebody up. Say a word for Jesus. He says that he's watching over you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to open your mouth. And sometimes we really don't know what to say. But once you open your mouth, he will fill it up. Yesterday, Wailing Women had a program. We are part of Wailing Women. They had a 12-hour non-stop prayer and fasting. The Lord commanded us all over the world where there was a wailing woman. He said, meet together and cry out for the evils in the society. He gave us three things. He said he was going to judge wickedness, and that we should make declarations, and that we should make decrees. Three things. Everyone, we were in this place. All these people that usually say, I don't know what to say. Everyone that came up here, God just filled their mouths. People were just bringing out things. I was like, really? It was so good. Women were speaking. Dr. Busola, should I talk about you? She said, 1 hour? You will pray for 1 hour each? And she was like, 1 hour. They had to give her paper to remind her that it's time. When she started, she was just going. She was just going. And everyone was like that. And they sent me pictures from Liberia. I saw the one from Zambia. The women did not meet in a hall, nice air-conditioned hall. We were cold in this place yesterday. They sat on the floor, on the street, on Third Road. And they were rolling on the ground, crying out for the wickedness in their society. Rolling, I could have shown you that one. And I say, how will God not hear them? And the ones in Liberia, they were on their faces. Many people here, even in America, somebody told us that they went to Walmart and found a corner out in the parking lot and were rolling. You can do something. And God will put a word in your mouth. Sometimes it's not even to speak to people. Make declarations. He knows my name. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And therefore, I will not allow this evil in this city. You can stand by yourself and cry out, and God will hear you. It was in Nigeria, there was a man of God. I'm sure we've told this story before. His name was Idahosa. He died some years ago. And the witches in all over the world, not in Nigeria, all over the world, were coming for a conference. Pastor, you know about that, right? In Benin City. And the man got up and he said, what? The witches, it's not a hidden thing. They announced that they were having their world conference or convention, whatever you call it, in that city. The man said, not if I'm a man of God, they will not come here. One man. They moved the meeting to London. They still had the meeting in another city. I remember when we were in Florida, one time hurricanes were coming. In those days, they were coming. And they told us, oh, this one is going to overrun the city. People were running to Georgia. It's Wailing Women. We said, no. We are in this city. Why will the city be flooded? Because they said there will be a flood from Miami up to wherever. All of you, your homes will be under the water like it was in New Orleans. We said, it's not happening here. We spent the whole day and the whole night crying out to the Lord. The sad thing is it actually went somewhere. We should have told it to go back. But we were just saying, you will not come here. You will not come here. We should have sent it somewhere else. And the hurricanes came, swept people in the islands, affected so many people. You as an individual, you can stand on behalf of your city. How about your family? Maybe the enemy is ravaging and dealing with people in your family. And you have all kinds of people. Some are in drugs, some are alcoholics, some have no job, some are sick, some are just walking about with no thoughts. Can you take a stand on behalf of your family? And say, God, you are mindful of me. You are mindful of my family members. Call their names before the Lord. Call them in the watches of the night. Call them in the daytime. Say, God, do something in the life of this person. Such people actually, they irritate you. And you want to just bye-bye from afar. But God put them there because he knows you are there. Can you cry out for your family? Can you cry out for the government? Because that's the next thing. Be a watchman. The first man is to be a worker. The first one is to be the second one a witness. And the last one is to be a watchman. God says, I have made you a watchman, son of man. He says, I have made you a watchman to the house of Israel. So hear the word at my mouth. That's Ezekiel 3:17. And give them warning for me.
God needs you to give warning. God needs you to awaken somebody. God needs you to encourage somebody. God needs you to tell somebody, I'm here. Take my hand. I don't want you to go through this alone. God wants you to encourage somebody. He says, when I warn the wicked that they will die and you don't tell them, he says, I will require their blood at your hand. It's not just that we are saying be nice to people. No, God has expectations of you and I. You see, God's goodness is not cheap. There's a responsibility that God has over you. He is the creator. He has a concern. He has care for his people. He's mindful of everybody. But God wants you to awaken and to stand for your family. I want to read a scripture. This scripture that we read in Psalm 8 was David, that he said, God, what is man that you are mindful of him? There's another scripture about David. It's in 2 Samuel. If you want to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's about David and his household and his generation and his nation. We are here to affect not just me, your household, your generation, your family, your nation. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, I'll just give you the background because it's a long passage. So the Lord says to Nathan to go and tell David that he will build him a house, that he's going to give him a dynasty, that he's going to make him somebody. Shows the good heart that God had towards David. David went and sat before the Lord. Verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? That should be our response when we see how God is blessing and is lifting and is taking care and is saying nice things that we are hearing. It's not just so you feel good in church and you go back and say, oh my goodness, I feel so good. But when God does those things, what's your response? He went and sat. He said, Who am I, O Lord? What is my house that you have brought me this far? And this was yet a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come, your family. And is this the manner of God, of man, O Lord God? He says, God, is this how good you are? Is it everybody that experiences what I'm experiencing? You've spoken so good of me and my family. Verse 20. And what can David say more unto you? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. He knows me. See, if you really know me, you may not like me the way you like me. If you really know every detail of my life, you will say, oh, I didn't know she was like this. Because all of us, we have those weaknesses. And those are the ones that Satan points out when you come across somebody. But God covers us all. He covers us. He says, I love you with all of that trash, with all of that junk. But the devil wants to point out and bring out those things. Let's love as God loves and cover. So when you see me as God sees me, not as the enemy would want you to see me. And when I see you, I should do the same with you. He said, God, you know me. And God knows us very well. He knows my name. He knows everything about me. And he still loves me. May God give us love for one another. That's not to say I won't notice what you are doing, that it is not right. I'm not blind. But I will look at that and still say, you know what? We're all human. I will pray for you. And I will take it in my heart that this person just needs more love. Or God will give you a strategy to deal with that situation. He says, you know me. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, have you done all these great things? Has God done great things for you? To make your servant know them. Wherefore thou art great. Time to worship him. When he blesses you, worship. Thou art great, O Lord. For there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee. According to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation. Now he was talking about the family. Now he's talking about the nation. What one nation in the earth is like thy people. Even like Israel. Whom God went to redeem for a people to himself. and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his heart, his house, establish it forever. And do as thou hast said. He's now in the place of intercession. He's saying, God, you have chosen us. You have done great things for us. Now the things that you promise us, do them. You have to put God in remembrance. He went back to the Lord. He didn't just, God is so good. God is mindful of me. There are things you need to remind God of. At the beginning of the year, what did he say? What did he say to Zion? How many times he kept saying, congratulations. You remember that? And we are beginning to see things that God is doing. Pastor will come back with testimonies, I tell you. The team that went to Burundi, they have testimonies. They have testimonies. So God is moving and moving and moving, but he wants all of us to awaken, to take our place, to say, God, I am here. I'm ready to work for you. I'm ready to be a witness. I'm ready to go with you. I'm ready to intercede for others. I'm ready to cry out on behalf of that person in church, that person out there. David said, look at what you have done for us. And you have made us a people. God has indeed blessed Zion. God has really blessed us. Verse 24, thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. He has done the same for us. He is our God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. May it be said that the Lord God is God over your family. And he's God over the nation. And he's God over Mount Zion. Let it be seen that there's something distinct. There's something unusual. There's something that God is doing to say, these are my people. He's setting you apart. He's bringing us to where we are now because he has somewhere he's going to. God is giving us a lot of this, part of this building. God has blessed us. Look at where we are. But he expects us to also respond because there are people out there. So when there is that outreach, I think it's on the 30th. On the 30th, what's your role? They are asking you bring some clothes, bring some things. Even if you don't have, go buy a few things and bring and make a contribution. If that's the only thing you can do. And on that day, be there. Pray for somebody. Hold somebody's hands. It's easy to say these homeless people, they put it on themselves. They are lazy. But for the grace of God, that could be you. Anything is possible. So let's love like God loved. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 28, and now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised his goodness unto thy servant. We sang about the goodness of the Lord. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. That's how we are going to pray this morning. Bless my family. Bless my household. Bless every member of my family. I'm not going to let anyone go to hell as much as I can. If they choose to, there's nothing you can do. You can't force their choice. But as much as lieth on me, none of them will go to hell. Cry out for them. Cry out. Call their names before the Lord. He says that you have blessed the house of your servant, that it will continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord, you have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Let the house of your family, let your household be blessed forever. Let the nation be blessed forever. Let Mount Zion be blessed forever. God is calling us to be watchmen. So a few things before we close. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. David has talked about God's greatness and his power. God's power, his greatness, and the fact that he's in control of all things. There are things that we have seen, we have tasted, we have experienced. But God is expecting you and I to do the same. The same power that he has given it to us. And he's given it to us to do something. He says, I give you power to tread over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He was telling this to those that went out to witness. So the Lord is expecting you and I to stand in power and authority. May the Lord release that power to you this morning in the name of Jesus. May he release that authority into your hand this morning, that when you speak, the kingdom of darkness will know that the Lord is the one speaking through you. Amen. So God's power. The second thing is God's perseverance and his mercy towards us. We've already talked about this. We've sang this. God is merciful. God perseveres. Let's do that with one another. This is a call for us to say, God, I don't know how to do this. Teach me how to love. Is it between husband and wife? Is it between parents and children? Or even siblings? Or just family members in church like this? God, I would rather, that person, I would rather show them the other side. But God is saying, no, mercy. He says, as you have received mercy, so you should be merciful. So God's power, God's perseverance. And now, what's God's plan and program for you and I? Go back again and say, God, you are mindful of me. Well, who am I? We sang earlier. You remember the song? I am who God says I am. I have what he says I've got. I'm walking in power. Who are you? It's time to go back to the Lord and say, why am I actually here? Are you here just to fill the space in the church, in your family, at work? And that circle of you work, you pay the bills, you go back, work again and pay the bills. And then the month goes, rolls into the year. And to 2022, today we are in July. In the next 2 months, 2 weeks, we are in August. Before you know it, the month is over and another year rolls back. There's more to life. There's more to life than just you come, you work, you have children. You know, there's a passage, I don't know if it's Genesis chapter 4. It will say this person, he begat, he was the father of this one. He begat this one, and then he died. And then the next one begat this one, and then he died. That's the passage that has Methuselah. As if that's all in life. You come, you have children, then you die. Then the next generation has children, and then they die. There is more to life. He says that David served the Lord in his generation, and then he died. He did something before he died. Up till today, if you go to Israel, the throne of David, where David was buried, everything is still there. They still call it the city of David. He made an impact. If God should call any of us good today, is it just to say, oh, that sister, oh, I loved her. What will you be remembered for? David is still being remembered. Can somebody really say, oh my goodness, I miss this person? There's a brother that did something for us in ASLPN, and he said, don't tell anybody. He gave us something last year. He said, don't tell anybody. And then we couldn't use it for some reason. And I called him. I said, sir, we couldn't use this thing again because we didn't need it. Can we give you back the money? He said, no. I've already given it. I called him again in May. I think it's May we had that conference. I called him. I said, sir, can we still use part of that thing you gave us? For he said, I have told you, I have given it to you. Don't ask me. He was that kind of brother. He would give and give and give. I just opened my phone and saw his obituary. This week, I called his pastor. I said, what happened? And it's a sad story. But see, all of us, the pastor said, oh, at the service day, we didn't even hear until the service was over. He said at the service, his former church was talking about what kind of person he was. And he said, no, wait, let me tell you about him. This is a very big pastor in America, very big. He said, let me tell you about him. And he started telling about that brother. And I said, pastor, wait, let me tell you my own. We're talking about one man. One man. May the Lord help us. May our life say something to, even if it's one time. May my life speak to somebody somewhere. Sometimes it's not even people in your around you because they are the ones that really see you. Out there, God can use you to touch somebody. To really touch somebody. What is God's plan for your life? Why are you here? What does God plan for you? What are those promises that God told you? What are those gifts that God gave to you and you are sitting down with them? Because you are busy with other things, God might have given you the gift of writing. Have you used it? God might have given you the gift of singing. The choir is looking for people to come and sing. Have you used it? God might have given you the gift of technology. Some people are very good with this thing, computer and all of that. Have you used it? Or it might just be to cook and take to somebody. Or to call on somebody on the phone and pray with people. What is that thing that you can do? Don't die with it. Because they say the grave is full of people with untapped gifts. When they go to heaven, they will say, oh my goodness, I was supposed to be this. May the Lord help us. Because God is mindful of you. And God is watching that gift that he gave you. God is watching that talent that he gave you. It's not for you. And I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. What is that thing? Can we ask the Lord and say, God, let it rise up within me. Release that within me. That thing that is inside there. Each of us, God has made investments in us. When you were passing through that fire, you thought you were just going through trouble. God was putting something that you can use for somebody one day. When that challenge stood by you and God gave you victory, you thought, oh, God has delivered me. Praise the Lord. It's not just about you. God wants to use it for somebody. So may we be all about people. Amen. That dream, may the Lord awaken it. May the Lord cause you to remember again why he has you here. May the Lord awaken in us those things that he has already invested and they are lying down. They are lying dormant. May he awaken them. Amen. Amen. And the last point is that the enemy also has plans. It's not just God that has plans. As soon as God created the heaven and the earth, created the human being and the animals, and he put them there, good plans. They were free. They had every freedom. They were enjoying their relationship with God. And you think Satan somewhere is just saying, wow, these people are very fortunate. No, Satan is saying, how can I spoil that? How can I get in there? And he comes very cunning. He came as a serpent. So Satan has manipulations. He has control of things that he's trying to use against you. He has counterfeit. He has wicked plans. He's determined to stop you. He's determined to put situations that will challenge you. And sometimes you dwell on those situations. You think this is your only problem in life. You talk about this thing. This is all. This is all. This is all that you are seeing. It might be a child, a prodigal child. And all your attention is only on that child. You've forgotten the other children that are doing well. You concentrate on just that one child. And God is saying, but I've blessed you in all these other areas. Or it might be education. And you are struggling, school fees. And you are saying, God, have you forgotten me? And God is saying, I've got you. I have plans for you. Let's not allow anything to become that heavy. Because the devil wants to magnify that thing. And make it a challenge. Something that you would say, God doesn't care about you. That's ultimately his desire. Because he said to the woman, did God really say? The implication is he doesn't really love you. Because if he loves you, why wouldn't he give you everything? Why is he holding this one tree from you? God might be holding that one thing to help you go to your destination. Go through your destiny. Become who he wants you to be. So that thing that seems to be a challenge. Today we are saying, God, show me the way out. Give me the strategy for this. Don't allow the enemy to put you down. Amen. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God has a better idea for you. So God is mindful of you. God is here to give you a picture of the love that he has for you. That his love for you is infinite. It cannot be stopped. His goodness is chasing after you. He's made you to be somebody. God wants to lift up your head because there are others that are waiting for you to lift them up. It's not about you. It's so good when you see people that can say, you know, I can't do this thing. And they push themselves. And they come. And they could have easily said, you know what? I don't feel like it. But they make it. When you see people like that, You applaud them and you say, you're doing well. You have tried. Let's encourage one another. God is mindful of you. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And because he has my back, the enemy will never prevail. The lion of the tribe of Judah, he has already prevailed. That song says, I am already loved. It's not that God is going to love me next year. Right now, he has already loved me. And therefore, let's believe in the goodness of God. Amen? Shall we rise to our feet? We want to thank God today. We believe in the goodness of God. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls. He hears me when I call. The God of heaven is mindful of me. 170 million to 2 billion galaxies. But he knows where you are. He knows your situation. Today I want us to just tell God, I am grateful that you know me. I am grateful that I can call you my God. That I can call you my Father. Say it, let the enemy hear you. That I know that I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Thank God that he has called you. He knows your name. He knows your every thought. He knows, he sees each tear. He knows every struggle. Thank God that he knows you. Thank God that he chose to love you. As unlovable as you may be, somebody else may say, write her off. But God is saying, I love you. I care about you. Tell the Lord I am grateful. Tell God I don't want to fail you. I want to show your love to others. Help me, Lord, to be a walker for you. Help me to be a witness for you. Help me to be a watchman, a watchwoman, somebody that will stand on behalf of the nation, on behalf of others, that will see somebody that is falling and lend a helping hand. Somebody that has a word, a right word to encourage somebody. Not the one that will tear down, not the one that will criticize, not the one that will judge. Even in Mount Zion, Father, help me to take my position. In the society, you have given me gifts. Help me to become who you say I should be. In the name of Jesus, Father, awaken something in me today. Awaken something in me today. The dreams and the visions that the enemy has silenced, awaken them. The gift and the ability that you have for me, awaken it, oh God. Help me to arise out of every dunghill, out of every valley. Lift me up and help me to lift others up. Lord, touch me today. You are mindful of me, the God of the heavens, the King of the universe, the miracle worker, the way maker, the creator. You are mindful of me. You know me and you are interested in me. Father, help me to walk with my head high and every challenge, every situation of my life. Today, I report it to you. What is that thing that has caused you pain? What is that thing that has made you say, does God really care? Today, say to that thing, I know he loves me. I know he cares for me. And therefore, at the name of Jesus, you will bow. You situation, turn around. You challenge of my life, I command you. Go in the name of Jesus. How about your family? Is there a name you need to place before the Lord today? Is there somebody you need to say, God, you are mindful of me. How about my brother in this family? How about my sister? How about my father, my mother? How about my family members? How about my in-laws? How about my neighbors? How about my classmates from years ago? Father, remember this person. Touch this person. Raise them up. Let none go to hell. Oh God, I cry out for my family members today. David placed his family before you. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You are mindful of everyone in my family. So visit them with your salvation. Oh God, I cry out for everyone in my family that you will reach out and touch them in the name of Jesus. I say they will not die. They will not die. They will live and declare your goodness. We call the prodigals back today in the name of Jesus. Pray for Mount Zion. God is blessing Mount Zion. The blessings have responsibility attached to it. God, what do you require of Mount Zion? God, what do you require of me? What is my role? What is my portion?
Oh God, release it to me in the name of Jesus. Pray. God, have mercy upon America. Have mercy upon America. Have mercy upon the nations. Maybe you are from another nation. Call that nation by name. God, you see the atrocities in Nigeria. You see the wickedness in Nigeria. Oh God, you are mindful of that girl that has been kidnapped. You are mindful of that girl that is being raped, that woman. You are mindful of that child that is, they are trying to harvest his organs. You are mindful, oh God. Reach out and save somebody today in the name of Jesus. Oh God, do not forget Ukraine. We have seemed to forget Ukraine. But Lord, remember Ukraine. Oh, remember that family that is homeless today. They are in the IDP camp. That family that is saying, oh, my father is dead. Remember them today in the name of Jesus. Remember people that are grieving today and people that have COVID. Ah, let the Lord touch them. Let the hand of the Lord reach people today. People have value before the Lord. Place them before the Lord. Even in Mount Zion, is there somebody you haven't seen in a while? Call their name out before the Lord. May the Lord reach them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, you are mindful of Burundi. That's why you took our pastor and our sisters to Burundi. Visit that land with your salvation. Do a walk in Burundi, oh God. Let it be said that the Lord visited. Let it be said that the Lord touched this land. Let it be said that somebody's life was transformed because you came in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Is there anybody today you are saying, I need God to do something specific? I want something unique. I am tired of this challenge. I am tired of feeling like I'm just here. I'm just passing by. I am tired of crying out for my children, for my parents, for my siblings, and it looks like nothing is happening. If you are here, we want to agree with you. If you are here, just cry out to the Lord and we agree with you. If you need prayer, the pastors are here. After church, you can come. Or maybe it's a healing. You are saying, God, look at this, my knee. God, look at this, my back. God, look at this thing. It has a name. The name of Jesus is above that name. And in the name of Jesus, we come against the spirit of COVID. We come against all the cancers that are going around, rampant all over. We come against those spirits of those sicknesses. They will not come here. We put a demarcation. We say, thus far, they are like those dogs. You cannot come near here. There's a leash. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that you, the God of the heavens and the earth, the one that sees the galaxies, you see the moon and the stars, you see the heavens and the earth, and how many seas are there, the waters, the lands, the trees, the animals, and yet you are mindful of us. Father, may we walk out of here with our heads held high, knowing that the creator of the universe, the maker of all things, your eyes are upon me, your care is upon me, upon each of us here. Today, oh God, we say everywhere that the enemy has sought to put us down, today let there be a rising up in the name of Jesus. Let there be a lifting up in the name of Jesus. Let there be a response from heaven to every challenge, every situation, every encounter of the enemy. God that makes a way where there is no way. Do miracles in the lives of your people. Father, we pray for families. We pray for those in families that are yet to know you. Those in families that are yet to call upon your name. Today, God, reach out to them. Take them by the hand. Open their eyes. Let everyone see you suddenly. In the name of Jesus. We pray for families that are struggling financially. We pray for families that are struggling economically. God of provision. Is there someone here that is believing you for a money, for a breakthrough in their finances? God, reach out today and open the door. Let it come in the name of Jesus. We pray for families that some members are suffering with addictions. Today, break the power of the enemy. Set them free in the name of Jesus. We pray that for our community. We pray that for Cleveland, Tennessee. We say wherever there are addictions and bondages, Father, break those bondages in the name of Jesus. Lord, is there somebody here that is saying, change my situation, change my garment, change something in my life? Father, reach out. Is there somebody here or watching online that is saying, I'm tired of this sin, I am tired of this situation? God, reach out. Let there be a flow from your throne. Let there be an abundance from the throne of God, even in the area of healing of families, in the area of physical healing, in the area of healing of relationships. Where there are relationships that are broken down, Father, heal relationships. Arise, O God. We are your people. We are called by your name. Let your blessing rest upon each one in this room. Let us know that of a truth, you are mindful of us. Your eyes are upon us. You know our names. You want to do us good. And Lord, today, take our matters. Every challenge, every struggle, every issue that is unacceptable, we bring them to the foot of the cross. We lay them before you. And we say, Father, fight the battle. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you have prevailed. You have prevailed. You have prevailed over the enemy. And victory belongs to us. Victory belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. You won it for us. Lift your people up. Let the burden go away. And help us, oh God, to go out there and represent you well. This week, send somebody our way. And Lord, tap us on the shoulder. Say, I want you to bless this person. Remind us, oh God, to reach out to people and to show your love and your kindness to a world out there that is hopeless, to a confused world, to a nation that some people don't know if they are men or women, they are boy or girl. The world is confused. Give us a word, oh God, in season that will point the way for somebody in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We are mindful of your goodness. We are mindful of your faithfulness. And as a people, we say thank you. As Mount Zion, we say thank you. Where you are taking Zion to, Father, go. And let all of us follow you. Let none be left behind. Even those watching us online, Father, reach them this day in the name of Jesus. Bless everyone that has entered this sanctuary today. Let it be that Jehovah, you met your people. Jehovah, you touch your people. Jehovah, you bless your people. Do great things in our lives. We declare this is a good week. It is a good month. It is the seventh month of the year. Perfect that concerns us. The rest of the year is blessed already because you have gone ahead of us. Blessed be your name. Let the blood of Jesus speak over everyone. Thank you for Pastor and the team. They will come back with testimonies to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.